ణే నిరతం కరుణామయం నమామిచిన్మయం దేవం సద్గురుం బ్రహ్మ విద్వరం ఓం శ్రీరమణాయ నమః. Saddarshanam is one of those very subtle texts composed in Tamil language originally by this great sage of South India whose name was Shri Ramana Maharishi. It was later translated by one of his very, very bright devotees, disciples. His name was Shri Swami Ganapati Vasishta Muni. He was a great Sanskrit scholar, and he's translated many of Bhagwan's work. Shri Ramana Maharishi used to be called Bhagwan lovingly by many people. He is translated many of Bhagwan's works into Sanskrit. And this is one of them. And as the name itself suggests, Sat Darshanam, it is vision of truth, vision of reality, vision of the absolute. That is called as Sat Darshanam. And the word itself should be understood properly. Vision means what? When we say vision in English, we usually take the word to mean to see with these eyes, isn't it? But here it is not seeing with these eyes. Sat Darshanam means being. If the word were to be translated in its true meaning, it will just be being. It is not that you get to see something. Even with the inner eyes, we don't see anything objectively. Darshana in Sanskrit, or darshana in Vedanta, when we use this word, please don't take it to mean it is seeing something objectively. It is like when somebody tells you some idea, and then you say, "Oh, I see. I see what you mean." Now, do you see something that time? Then whatever the person says, then you see it passing like a, you know, ticker tape. "Oh, I see what you mean." Not like that. Not that type of seeing. Darshana here means, really at the deepest level, being. Coming to be one with oneself. That is the idea. I come to experience my expansive, limitless, infinite nature. That is darshanam. Or sat darshanam. Guruji says very nicely, you know, at some places, what we all have is a version of truth, but nobody has a vision of truth. Everybody thinks truth to be this, truth to be that, truth to be the other thing, you know. This is and everybody thinks what he knows, that is truth. Nothing can be further from the truth. Actually, what I know, and I take it to be truth, because it is something objective, something which I know objectively, it could never be truth. Because truth is not something objectified, objectifiable. Truth is what is. And see, I am or I am not. I am, no. But I always take myself to be something other than what I am. I'm just pure being, pure existence. But I take myself to be this body, mind, and intellect. I take myself to be some objective being, objective thing. But I am the thing by which the body, mind, and intellect are known. We are never able to just be in that. We are always projecting ourselves into the body, mind, and intellect, and we are taking ourselves to be the body, mind, and intellect. But the thing by which the body, mind, intellect are known, that is what I am. And I don't have to actually... See, we use the language like that, right? I don't have to be. I am. What? How I'll be? I don't have to try to be also. We don't have to try to do anything. Our problem is actually in trying. We have to stop trying. And if we can really stop trying, stop doing, then our problem will be over. Not that we'll gain anything also. We cannot gain what you are. See, like for example, now try to be a human being. Try, let's see. What you'll do? You can't do anything. In the very same way, as I cannot try to be a human being, I cannot try to be liberated also. I cannot try to be myself. But I am myself. How you'll try to be yourself? When all this trying and all this effort and all this stop, that thing is called as Saddarshanam. And please don't hope to see anything at the end. Some people may say, then why did I come here? People have all sorts of great ideas, you know. And people, other people also describe these things in very flowery language. And suddenly there'll be a blast of light. A flash of light. And, oh, Eureka! Like that. Somebody think. Some people think, I will say Eureka and jump and run. Like, if you read the life story of Sri Ramana Maharishi also, you'll see that there was no such thing. No? He was just there, one silent, quiet, peaceful being. Because all striving, all trying, all running, all chasing, all seeking, all such thing, they stop. They cease. They come to an end. Sometimes in the trying itself, the bondage is there. Saddarshana is where even the striving ceases. No. Our mind is such, and mind intellect means the antakarana. When we use these words sometimes, in Sanskrit there is something called as upalakshana. Upalakshana means by extension. If I say mind, by extension I mean antakarana. If I say buddhi, by extension I mean the antakarana. So, this antakarana will not allow us to stop. It will not stop, not allow us to stop, but it will not stop. It just goes on and on and on. Mind intellect goes on and on and on. So we say, okay. It will not stop. It keeps going on. Because when you get one question answered, then second one arises. In fact, when you get one answer, 10 arise, isn't it? And there's always something it wants, always something it wants to get. And the way the language is also structured, we say, we'll attain moksha, we'll get moksha, we'll achieve. So achievement is there, attainment is there, obtaining is there, getting is there. Maybe that is a commercial actually. Because the commercial has to tell something. Na? So you look forward to it. Looking, and then there's some people say, because of that language, some people say, nothing is happening. I've been doing sadhana for so many years, nothing happened. Because we're too much looking forward to something. What we are saying is, this mind will keep on searching, looking, desiring. Keep on looking forward to something. All the sadhanas, spiritual practices, they are given so that the mind will become quiet. It will cease all the searching. It will cease all of this constant longing. Oh, I will get this, I will get that. The bondage is in the longing. Bondage is in the searching. These type of texts of Sri Ramana Maharshi is at this level. At a lower level, yes, one has to go on searching. One has to go on looking. Because if I don't search or don't look, I will not come to know that the thing is to be quiet. The real searching is to just be quiet. I have to somehow start. That is like, you know, we delude little children. Have you seen? We delude little children into doing something, only to find out later on that little child, like for example, you delude them into putting up a socks for Santa Claus to come and put something in there. So they do it and all. And there's some benefit, some purpose and all. But later on they realize that Santa Claus doesn't come. Or the tooth fairy. So all of this sadhana and all bring our mind to a certain state when we realize, I just have to sit down and leave it. Leave everything. So the searching has some role, but here, this type of text at this level encourage us to just be quiet. And here, we tackle the mind directly. So, and here with what? With very esoteric ideas. We tackle the mind directly, and in so doing, the mind simmers down, becomes quieter, 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 and it dissolves. That is the idea. The problem is not to find anything, the problem is in dissolving the mind. Just let it dissolve, and then nothing. Then still people, after that what? Let it dissolve and then nothing. That is the idea. You know, like you're like a cube floating in water. And slowly, slowly that cube has to dissolve, you know, melt, melt, melt. Then when the cube melts, then there is no cube to ask any question. It melts away. As long as that cube is there, he'll ask, why is all these other fellows liquidy and I am solid? First question he'll ask. Then they have no shape, but I am cubey. Then they are warm and I am cold. So many distinctions, so many questions. You know. Then he's called water, I am called cube. He doesn't realize that, you know, he's made up of H2O and the rest is made up of H2O. When he realizes that, he'll melt away. He'll vanish. Then nobody to ask any more questions. No, don't get scared. Some people, when they hear this also, they get scared. You mean I'll be gone? So people are afraid. Therefore, I maintain my cubeness. But as long as you maintain cubeness, then you maintain all the troubles also. The pain, the sorrow, limitations, anguish, fear, how many different things. Birth and death, disease. One after the next. Once we maintain that, limit those limitations, we maintain all of these things. Human being, I tell you, you know, there were two Eskimos sitting in a kayak, you know, and they were feeling cold. So they lit a fire in the middle of the kayak. It burnt a hole in the kayak and the kayak sank. You know what the moral of the story is? You cannot have your kayak and heat it too. You cannot have your cake and eat it too. Have you heard that? These human beings, they want to retain this body and retain this samsara and retain everything here. And they want to be happy also. They want to achieve the bliss and the joy and everything of moksha. Right? And they want to keep this samsara also. They want to have the cake and eat it. It will not happen. We have to be prepared to give up everything. Then only all of this samsara will end. So, Bhagwan Sri Ramana Maharshi takes our mind to this level now, where he gives so many different lines of thought. And all of them, please remember, is always to bring Sat Darshan. And Sat Darshan means just the dissolving of the mind. Vision of truth means just dissolving of mind. It is not that the mind will come to get some special thing and mind will still be there. See, to say, I have got it. Not like that. It's just pure, simple being. Now let us see. I told you a little bit about this text and author and translation, and now we go straight into this text. If we don't, then we'll not finish. We only have 6 classes. And we have 44 verses. That means like average 7 verse a class. Now 20 minutes, no verse yet. Okay. Now Mita also is very nice, simple. Sat pratyaya kim nu vihaya santam. Hriddeshya chinta rahito hridakhyah. Katham smaramas tamameyamekam. Tasya smritis tatra dhridheva nishtha. Sat pratyaya vihaya. So this, let me tell you a little bit about how these verses are. Sanskrit verses, Sanskrit language and compositions, they are such, right? That the words that form sentences, the words are strewn everywhere in the verse. Not like English and all. Look here. In English, if you say, the dog jumped over the fox. Right? The dog jumped over the fox. If you switch those words in English, you are in trouble. Then the same meaning will not come. Isn't it? The fox jumped over the dog. Different meaning, isn't it? You can't switch the words in English. But in Sanskrit, you could very well put the words anywhere. And same meaning will come. That is a wonderful thing about the language. Any word can go anywhere. There has to be no order or anything. Because each word will be in a different case. What do you call? In a declension. And so there is no need to put it in any order and all. So that is what has happened here. Words are in no order. So the order here, that order in Sanskrit is called as anvaya. To put it in order. Anvaya. So the anvaya is sat pratyayaha vihaya. Means casting out any idea or concept of existence from the mind. So I don't have any idea of existence. Casting it out. Vihaya. Kim nu santam? Means, if I deny the idea of existence, then how is it possible for me to think of any existence of anything in this world? Let us study that again. basic idea there is, anything I think about, if I see this, let us just say I see this thing, this object. So about this object, well, there's color, there's name, there's shape, there are so many things, right? But really and truly, in this object or any other object which I see, the basic and most fundamental idea in relation to any object is the first and foremost idea of existence. Then the other things. Then the greenness, squareness, oblong, name, shape, whatever. Those things are secondary. The primary idea is the idea of existence. This is the meaning, sat pratyaya. The primary thing is existence. So, if I see the shape exists or not? The name exists or not? They all exist, the color exists. Existence underlies every aspect of this thing. That existence is called sat pratyaya. So if I deny existence, then what I'm effectively doing is denying everything in the universe. The corollary of that is that everything in the universe is nothing but existence. Everything in the universe is made up of existence. You show something which doesn't exist. That is a contradiction in terms, isn't it? If I'm showing. They are very, very funny people in this world, you know. One man is telling another one, I can prove to you that I'm not here. That other one, really? I don't think you can do it. He said, I bet you $100. I bet you $100 I can prove I'm not here. That other man said, okay, go ahead. I'll give $100 if you can prove. So he said, okay. Am I in Chicago? He said, no, you're not in Chicago. Am I in Boston? No, you're not in Boston. Oh, if I'm not in Chicago and I'm not in Boston, then I must be somewhere else. That fellow said, yes. Okay, if I'm somewhere else, that means I'm not here. No, see this kind of logic. If I'm somewhere else, I'm not here. No, pay up $100. He said, if you're not here, how I will give $100? This fellow also very smart, you see. So that kind of logic is fallacious logic, isn't it? If I'm proving anything, that means I have to be there to prove now. So existence actually is the most basic and fundamental thing in the universe. You can reduce everything in the universe to existence. That is called a sat pratyaya. And sat pratyaya vihaya. If I deny existence, then kim nu santam? How can I speak of, first of all, if I deny existence, how can I move forward? There is no moving forward from there, isn't it? Do you know? One more thing about this line. It is impossible to deny existence. Because who will deny? If I am denying existence, means I have to be there to deny or not? First I have to be there, then to deny? You could do whatever you want in this universe, but you could never deny existence. So the vihaya word, they mean casting or denying. That is not possible. So this is why I tell in Vedanta, we do not need belief. Vedanta doesn't need a belief system. I do not say that we don't use belief. We use belief because it is helpful. But we don't need belief. Huh? What, you, do you exist or do you believe that you exist? I don't be, look, even if I doubt that I exist, I have to exist to doubt. First, I have to be there, then I can doubt. So this is Vedanta, this is where Vedanta starts. This is the springboard for Vedanta. So that existence is called as Sat Pratyaya, and casting it out, then all discussion finished. Everything else finished. If I cast out existence itself, nothing is possible after that. Kim nu santam? How can I speak of anything thereafter, any object or any topic or anything thereafter, if I deny existence? So then, where is this existence? Is it this existence? Hridyesha chinta rahito hridakya. It is in the heart. Esha hridi. It is in the heart. Existence is in the heart, and it is called the heart. Both. What is the meaning of that? It is exactly what I was telling just now. See, when we say heart here, right? We mean it is at the root of everything. Existence is at the root of everything. So when I see the key, when I see this thing, I really do not see the existence. I see the color, name, shape, form, and all the other things. I do not see the existence. I overlook the existence. But really, it is the existence which is supporting the name and the shape and the color and everything. Existence is the most basic and fundamental thing. How to understand it? Think a little bit. See, we say in all of the objects of the world, we reduce them to molecules. We reduce all the molecules to atoms. We reduce all the atoms to electrons, protons, neutrons. We reduce all of them also to little smaller particles, subatomic particles, quarks and neutrinos and strings and all the, down you go, right? Then we say all of those also, we reduce them to what? Energy. Then we just make one further step in Vedanta. One further step is we reduce all of these, this energy to existence. It is the subtlest thing in the universe. That existence is the building block for the entire universe. That existence is called as Sat. Now, that existence is at the root of all the objects which we see. Because just now we were reducing everything, na? All the objects going down, subtler and subtler and subtler. So the building block is existence. That existence is the root of all things. And that is called Hridi. Hridi here means the heart, the very root, the very heart, the very essence. Not Hridi like this heart that pumps or anything like that. It's the very essence of everything. Existence. So it is called as Hridi also. Or as Hrit. Hridakya means it is called as Hrit. Existence is the very essence of all things in the universe. And where it is to be found? Hridi. At our very own essence. At our very own root. From where do I start? I start, or I emanate from existence. My starting point is existence. I hear existence also in English language also, and in Sanskrit. Existence and being is one and same. Being. That verb is the most amazing verb. If you have any spare time in the day and your mind is running here and there, the best thing to think about is this verb called as being. You go on reflecting on that verb. See, there are so many verbs in English, na? So, you know all the other verbs. See, to laugh is one verb. To eat is another verb. To run, to talk. That's what we are doing a whole day, to think. To sit, to listen, to go, to come. Whatever verb, so many verbs we know. But there's one verb to be. So in all those other verbs, you know what to do. If I say eat, you know. Laugh, you know. Walk, talk, go, come, you know. All those verbs. When I say be, what do you do? They call it primary verb. It's the most wonderful verb for you to go on thinking about. Now be. Be what? People ask. Be what? So So existence and being, they are one and same. You can't be anything because I am. This is the verb you cannot do. The other thing is, this is the verb that you cannot not do. There's one verb that you cannot not do. See, look here. Fly. That is a verb you cannot do. Anybody can fly. There are so many verbs you cannot do, isn't it? Fly? You can't fly. And like that you can go on, like, you can speak, but speak French. I can't. There are so many things in the universe which we cannot do. But this one thing, this is the one thing that we cannot not do. One verb. Be. So that verb of being is our root itself. And that thing called being is our root. It's a verb and a thing at the same time. Vastu. Sadvastu it is called. It is verb and vastu at the same time. Object. Object, we don't take object, means objectifiable. It is the one thing. So noun and verb at the same time. That is the idea. And it is at the very root of my own existence. Hridi eshaha chinta rahitaha. Means when all thoughts have come to an end, when all thoughts have ceased, what is left? That's why I'm telling. See, the mind has to just become quiet, dissolve. And all thoughts have come to an end. What is left is just being. What is left is just existence. Sat. And the mind doesn't get anything new or any such thing like that. Katham smaramaha. Now, wherever there is some proposal, and this is what we should do, this is what we should acquire, this is what we should achieve, then the other question naturally is how? So how we should... Katham smaramaha. Tam ameya ekam. This one pure existence, which is immeasurable, which is limitless, infinite. This one pure, infinite existence, which pervades all things in the universe. How can I remember it all the time? In other words, how can I just be? That question is asked. Katham. How can I just be that one reality? Because right now I'm being the body. I'm being the mind. I'm being the intellect. I'm being this finite being. You see? I'm being a human being at this moment. I'm putting something in front of the being. What is that? Human being. What do you have to do? Remove the human. And just leave the being. So the question is asked, Katham smaramaha? How can I just be? So that answer is given, tasya smritihi tatra dhreva nishtha. What it means is, the only way is to abide in my own self. Firm dhreva nishtha. Dhreva nishtha. To abide in my own self. Now what that requires, very simple thing. I should have the ability and power, like Shankaracharya says, to drop everything, like when you hold a hot iron ball, hot plate or something. To drop it. See, you don't, when you hold that iron plate, you don't say, oh, it is hot. According to the laws of physics, if I hold something that is hot, it will burn and blister my hand, you know. Therefore, I think I should put it down. Do you think? When you hold that hot thing, you just, with that amount of vehemence, I should be able to drop anything in this world. Leave it. I tell you, we are so attached to so many things in this world. Sometimes a little idea, somebody else, see, that person tells some idea. Your idea is contrary to that idea. You have to prove to him that yours is right. No, what you're telling is not right. You hold on to your idea so strongly, ideology, whatever,
that you have to prove to the other fellow. Now, that little idea also, we have flimsy. And look, hey, any knowledge we have in any case in this world is wrong. My idea also cannot be right because everything is relative, isn't it? Your idea is only right relative to something. That idea also I cannot drop. I have to prove to him that it is right. And he walks away. I walk behind him to tell him also. So strongly. But to be able to drop all physical things and then all our ideas, ideologies also. If I cannot drop them, then I will not be able to be. I will be being at, I will be all the time engaged in being in thinking. So I'll be a thinker. I will be in a, one who is desirous of this, desirous of that. And I go on, the mind goes on and on. But to be able to drop all of them, then only I'll be able to gain a nishtha. When he says gain a nishtha, it's not so easy. Firm abidance in what I am. Means just to be what I am. That is all. But in order to be what I am, I have to give up what I am not. Right now I'm holding on to all the things which I am not. I have so many upadhis. I'm this, I'm that, I'm the other thing. So many. So to gain nishtha, the only way to really be what I am is to gain an abidance in myself, and the only way to do that is really to relinquish everything, to detach from everything. Now these verses, as I told you, they desire or they demand a lot of time, a lot of effort. But I hope you caught the main idea, and we have to move on. Now see, people ask, Bhagwan, you know, you have broken with tradition. Bhagwan said, what tradition? Usually at the beginning of any text, there is something called a Mangalacharan, or Mangal Shloka, some invocation verse or something, you know. Sarva Vedanta Siddhanta Gocharam Tama Gocharam Govindam Paramanandam Satgurum Pratosmiham. Shankaracharya, anything he writes, in the beginning there's some invocation to Govinda, Guru, you know, Tulsidasji, anybody writes. It is Bhagwan, what is this? You are beyond all of this or what? You don't write any invocation or nothing? So Bhagwan said, maybe you did not study the first verse properly, you know. The first verse starts with the word Sat. Now, Sat word refers to what? The absolute reality itself, the one thing from which the whole universe is fashioned, from which every single thing is fashioned. That Sat is existence per se, being per se, in which everything participates. What more other invocation you need? Because the invocation verse is usually some verse on Bhagwan, that reality, something like that. Here, Bhagwan Sri Ramana Maharshi's invocation is so subtle, so succinct, so brief, but yet so profound. The first word refers to the absolute reality and nothing else. And so what other more auspicious thing is there in the world than this? In Atma Bodha also, Bhagwan Shankaracharya, same technique he has used. Tapo Bhikshina Papanam. Tapa. Tapas. He starts with the word tapas, which again is invocation. Because in Shastra, Bhagwan himself is tapas. The Lord himself is tapas. Austerities. He is the very embodiment of austerity. All austerities are actually the Lord himself. So, when we censure the activities or the actions of saints, we have to think a second time before we do that. No, no, he has not written any invocation verse. What is this? That means you did not look well. Usually that is the case about this world, you know. One saint said very nicely, you know. I think it was, Sri Swami Shivananji Maharaj. What is it called? If you see any fault in the world, please look first at yourself. Means something you are overlooking in your. That will come up here again in this text only.
This world is an extension of ourselves only. So no, it is very much there. And the best invocation you could ever give is that absolute reality itself. Sat. So it starts with that. Now, in the second verse, it takes a very interesting turn. Let us see the verse and then I'll tell you what turn it takes. See, number two. Mrityunjayam mrityubhya shritanam. Aham atir mrityumupeti purvam. Atha svabhavadam riteshu teshu. Katham punar mrityudhiyo vakashaha. Mrityunjayam mrityubhya shritanam. Aham matir mrityum upaiti purvam. The person being afraid, mrityubhya ashritanam, those people who being afraid of death, what they do? Mrityum jayam upaiti purvam. People who are afraid of death take refuge in that Lord who is the conqueror of death, or the Lord who is beyond death. People who are afraid of death take refuge in the Lord who is beyond death, or is the conqueror, devourer. In Ramayana, Tulsidashi describes Bhagavan Sri Ram as the devourer of death, the one who swallows death also. So here Mrityunjayam is Lord Shiva. So those people who are afraid of death, they take refuge in Lord Shiva. And then what happens? Aham matir mrityumupayati. First, when the person does that, the I notion, the notion of individuality, the notion of finitude, the notion of limitations, all those things which we hold on to, first it dies. Aham mati mrityumupayati. It dies. What? How? By taking refuge in the Lord who is the conqueror of death, who is the devourer of death. Taking refuge in that Lord, the I notion means that little I dies. Then, atha, swabhava, tambriteshu, teshu. That person comes to his own true nature, comes to his own true self, self of pure existence, pure being. And then, katam punar mrityu dhiyo avakan. Then where is there room for any thought of death thereafter? Now, there's a very profound idea which is coming in this verse. Huh? First thing which is coming there is all beings are afraid of death and all fears are actually related to death only, because we perceive death as the greatest pain. So we are all afraid of death, and there are some people who say, no, no, Swamiji, I'm not afraid of death. I tell you, we say that only until Yamaraj comes. Then you'll see. Everybody's afraid of death. So, the prescription then is the person who is afraid of death should take refuge in Bhagwan, take refuge in the Lord, whichever form of the Lord. Because here, Mrityunjaya is referring to Lord Shiva, but I told you in Ramayana, Bhagwan Ram also is the one who devours death, you know. So whichever form of the Lord we prefer, we take refuge in that Lord. And what happens when a person takes refuge? Now see, the idea is taking refuge. So Bhagwan Sri Ramana Maharishi is talking about, in the first verse, Gyan Marg and the path of inquiry, the path of deep thought, Atma Vichar, that kind of thing. And here, in this verse, he's talking about taking refuge, this surrender, this is the path of bhakti. And what he means to say, in both of them, what will happen? Aham mati mrityumupaiti means the I notion will die either way.
So there is nothing superior, inferior about any of the path. If the person, through deep inquiry and, you know, lot of thinking, if he engages himself in that, the I notion will die, the limitations will die, and what will be left? Pure being. And here, if he surrenders to Bhagwan, surrenders to that Lord of the universe, again the I notion will die. Kabirdasji writes nicely at one place that Jab main tha, tab hari nahi. When I was there was no hari. Ab hari hai, main nahi. You know, hari alone is there, I am not there. Means the I died. As long as the I was there was no hari. Because only I, and this is our case, huh? All of us. No matter what great devotee we are, still I is there. In fact, I think I am such a great devotee. That means I is thinking. Yeah. He goes on thinking, I'm such a great devotee, you know. Every day I do all of this japa, meditation, puja. Bhagwan must be loving me like anything. We think like that. Huh? So that I is saying that. So the true devotee is the one who surrenders so well, who gives up himself so well to the Lord. Atmanikshepa it is called. Atmanikshepa means he surrenders to Bhagwan so well that he himself is not left anymore. So this is the bhakti marg, but whether it's gyan marg or bhakti marg, in the end, the individual I dies. And when the individual I dies, the same state is reached, same goal is there, same Saddarshan. See, all of the verses actually end in Saddarshan. As I explained to you in the beginning, Katham Punar Mrityu Dhiyo Avakasha. Where is there room for any thought of death thereafter? So the driving force for this surrender is the fear of death. And the goal which one reaches is one and same. Now, Bhagwan Sri Ramana Maharshi may mention this bhakti marg in this verse. But you know, he was not of that type. He was of the type that did atma vichar. Koham, who am I? Who am I? That is, was his main method of sadhana. Who am I? So, he, after mentioning the bhakti, gyan marg and bhakti marg, where he'll go back? Back to gyan marg. Because that is his nature. Everybody should stick to their nature only. It's the best thing. Many times we want to change our nature and, you know, take up something else and look, you know, like something else or do something else. What is that? People, I tell you, they like change. I'm not feeling so good these days. Therefore, I got to change my hairstyle. One fellow went to a machine, you know, and he put that, you know, these vending machines. You put your money in there and some product comes out. Some Coke or Sprite or something comes out from that machine when you, whatever you press there. So he put $5 in there and he pressed that button and that product came. And he took it. And then he was waiting for his change. Because then no change came. Then he gave one kick to that machine, you know. People, that's what they do only. Sometimes they work also when you do that. Huh? Anyway, so he gave one kick to that machine. And where's my change? And then a card came out. And that card was written, change must come from within. But what do? We try to change everything outside. We change our hairstyle, we change our car, we change our house, we change our city. We change so many things. Change our looks. Indian dress to Western dress. Or something. We go on changing things outside. But what we have to do is to try to change inside. So anyway, now, the best thing is to just remain as we are with no change. Changeless, avyaya. The changeless being we should try to seek out. Look for that. When there will be no problem thereafter looking for this change, that change. So Ramana Maharshi is like that.
He stays in his own netya and he speaks from there only. Right? Suddenly he doesn't, right across the street from where he stays, a big temple is there. So he just suddenly didn't get up and go there. And I'm fed up with all this Atma Vichara, Atma Vichara, Atma Vichara. I'll take Aarti every day. No. There's a priest there who is doing that. That is his nature. Let him do. This is your nature. Everybody has their own swabhav, you know. So now he comes right back to his own swabhav. So now that is number three. See this? Sarve nidanam jagato hamascha. Vachya prabhu kaschidapara shaktihi. Chitre tralokyam cha vilokita cha. Pata prakasho pyabhavat sa ekaha. Sarvehi nidanam jagataha ahamaha cha. Vachah Prabhu Kaschid Apara Shakti. This is only coming in line only. That Vachah, it is to be accepted, it is to be held, it is said and has to be held that all the different parts, that will come in another verse, all the different matha, you know, which we'll see just now, they say that all things in the world have one primary cause. All things of this jagataha, nidanam. Nidanam means the primary cause, the basic and fundamental material, which is called as upadana karana in Sanskrit. Upadana karana means that thing from which everything is made. Here, that upadana karana is called nidanam here. So jagataha nidanam. Sarvehi jagataha nidanam. The cause of the whole universe, and including the cause of the individual I, is what? Kaschit apara shakti, one limitless infinite power. One limitless infinite power. The cause of all things is this one limitless infinite power. And that he gives a very wonderful example in the last two lines. This is a very favorite example of mine, which I have also used for so many, many years in so many lectures. Have you seen in some houses you go, some places you go, there are what is called as crochet pieces. Crochet pieces, you have a big, nice picture there, which is made from woven thread. Huh? So there is a nice sunrise there, there's a pasture, and a cow is grazing, there's grass, there's a tree, there's a bird flying. So many things in that crochet piece. Now, when you look, you see many things, but from one point of view. From one point of view, you see cow and grass and tree and bird and sunrise and this, and there's so many things you're seeing there. But from a slightly deeper point of view, a slightly more subtle point of view, if you look, really there is nothing there but thread. And, or what we call as cotton, which from which all the things have been woven. So from a more superficial point of view, you see various things in that crochet piece. From a more fundamental point of view, when you look deeper, you see only one thing. There are not many things. So that is exactly how this universe is structured. There is absolutely no difference. This example is so profound. Because many of the other examples, there's a duality. Like for example, snake rope example and all, there's still a duality because there's a snake and there's on that rope, but there's a third person who is superimposing. But this example, it comes even closer to what the reality is. And what is that? Reality is that there is only one thing in the universe. Sa ekaha, that last word is given. One thing. And that one thing has manifested itself as all what you see here. Just like how you could take that one thread and weave a whole big picture with so many various objects. And that is the greatness of this one Sat, this reality. This Sat is so wonderful. You see, if you take children's Play-Doh, you know, Play-Doh. Now, with that Play-Doh, you can only make certain things, you know. It has its limitations. You can take the Play-Doh and make a man, or sheep, a goat. You can make so many objects out of that. But the things which you can make out of that Play-Doh, they are limited. You can only make so many things. For example, take the Play-Doh and make air. How you'll make air? Take the Play-Doh and make a thought. Take the Play-Doh and make space. No, you can't. You see? Make a memory out of it. Make love out of Play-Doh. You can't carve love out of Play-Doh. An emotion. You can't carve it. So that has its limitations. But existence is so wonderful. Out of that existence, you can carve out not only the things which you know, things which you cannot even dream of. Because it is infinite and has infinite potencies. And out of that existence, you can make so many countless things which we cannot even fathom. Its malleability is so profound that you can mold it and shape it into anything. So here, one example of that is given. Now, this thread which is taken and it is made into this whole big picture with so many objects. And you just have to now extend that to existence. It is so profound, you can make anything conceivable or even inconceivable out of existence. So, that is the apara shakti. That is the apara shakti from which everything in the universe is made. Apara shakti means limitless power. Limitless power. This existence is of limitless power. And it is from this existence that everything is made. It is called as nidanam. The basic and primary and fundamental cause. Upadana karana of the whole universe. From that everything is made. Everything including me. Usually when we think in these intellectual terms, we minus ourselves from the equation. That is where the danger lurks. We cannot minus ourselves from the equation. When we realize that this is the one thing from which everything is carved out, every thought of mine, every feeling, every emotion, every ideology, everything is carved out from that. I find my oneness with all things in the universe. I find my intimate relationship with all things in the universe. So, the individual I is also carved out from that. It's a very important point. That will again come up. We'll see that at 10 o'clock. Okay. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.
Hariyom, the next class on Sadarshan is 10 o'clock in the same room. If you have not bought those books, they are available outside. And those of you who have picked up the books without paying, please pay up. To the $3 and $2, $2 for the one that we do at the night. So as I said, one more on Sadarshan today at 10 o'clock. Right after now, there is yoga session till 8:40. It is getting to be 8 o'clock. Yoga is, as you walk around, walk over this lake, there's a bridge, and you will find a shelter. The setup is there. That is where the yoga is. After that, you could come back here, have breakfast, and break for the till the time, 10 o'clock, we come back here. Okay. We had a nice meditation session here. Quite a few of you were here. And just after we split, after meditation, there was crescendo of sounds. We were supposed to be silent till the time we began this lecture. That is when we could realize how the quietness is good, how the quietness is energetic. So please, when we finish meditation every morning, try to be silent, have tea in silence, enjoy it in silence, and then come back here in silence. So that would benefit us all. Thank you. We'll break for that.
The children will also have a yoga session right on the grass next to the shelter. Okay. We'll be providing a tarpal sheets. They won't be doing it on the grass. So please take the children there. And also I've got the sheets for assignment of the delegates to sit for satsang during breakfast, lunch, and dinner. We'll put it on the wall there. Thank you. Those who are not doing yoga, you can go for a walk. They're nice trails.